gardening on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Tier Lawn Country Life. Gardens are our second nature, with 15 garden centres nationwide.
Well, now we're going back in time with Dermot Gavin, expert garden designer, Chelsea Gold Medal winner. Dermot, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
You're going to bring me back 3,000 years.
Oh, this is amazing. This is, in a way, if you like garden design, this is where it all began. Because if you can imagine, it's 1400 BC and you're on the banks of the River Nile in what is contemporary Luxor, about 700 kilometres south of Cairo. And you walk into a walled garden. So we know all the great kind of Anglo-Irish walled gardens in the biggest states around the country. That is what you're walking into. But in an age when we don't have any of the contemporary communications, well, life is an awful lot simpler and everything revolves around the pharaoh or the leader and the gods. So a garden and a design garden is a very heady experience.
Now, tell me this. There's nothing left of it, I presume. So how do we know?
Well, actually, there are some excavations. So we know for two different reasons. There was an excavation of a tomb by a high official named Senefer, a nobleman, and he served as the mayor of the region of Thebes, and he was the overseer of the royal garden under one of the pharaohs. His tomb is on the west bank of the Nile. It is open to visitors, and it's not far from the Valley of the Kings. We know that he was the mayor of the city, and he was overseer of granaries and fields, gardens, and the cattle of Amun during the region of the 18th dynasty. Because he was a favourite of the king, he accumulated really huge wealth.
Now,
so there's plans and carvings of this garden in his tomb.
I'm looking at a picture you sent me of some of the stuff that's to be found on the wall. And it's quite extraordinary. I mean, they painted in two dimensions. There was none of the three-dimensional art that developed later. So it's flat, if you like. But what
does
it tell
us? It's very easy for us to read as a kind of plan. So in this case, the garden is shown as a walled enclosure, carefully organised and divided into geometric sections. And remember, this is 1400 BC. So there's a central square pond flanked by trees with wide paths leading towards the house. The house wouldn't have been the most important thing. The garden would. So we have grapevines that are trained across the shaded arbours. We can see that clearly on the plan. There are rows of trees, sycamore figs, date palms, down palms, pomegranates, all planted in straight lines. So everything outside the wall was disorder. Everything inside is order. And between the trees, there were garden beds filled with flowering plants, ducks swimming in the pond. The effect was one of perfect symmetry, organisation and sacred order. And each plant was chosen with very deliberate meanings.
Now, they did have grapevines, of course, and they did have wine.
They did, and they used the grapevines were very important because they could produce the grapes and then the wine. And the wine was used for festivities, for celebration, but most importantly for religious celebration. So everything in the garden had a meaning. The sycamore fig, which is a fig with a smaller fruit than the contemporary fig, that was sacred to Hathor, the goddess of music, fertility and the afterlife. But she was said to live inside the tree. So can you imagine walking through this garden, seeing all these sycamore figs and imagining the god living inside? The date palm was a tall, straight trunk, generous fruit that represented fertility and endurance. So everything had meaning and the experience would have been kind of otherworldly.
Now, what amazes me is that they did all of this without any kind of modern tools. I'm not sure what the tools they had were. They also used water in a way. They could control the flow of water for these kind of constructions, which is amazing.
It's unbelievable. So in the general area, they used controlled water. They used controlled the Nile by damming it and flooding the plains to irrigate all the crops. But in a case for these private gardens, and this is just one, we know there were a number and some kind of on a vast scale. But what they used to was create canals or man-made tributaries and lead these canals into their walled gardens. But they didn't have the meandering, wandering effect maybe of the River Nile. They would control control them. They would be as symmetrical as the straight lines that they were. The beds and the pavilions and the walkways were laid out in. And they also developed some machinery, ways of lifting water. And this machinery, which would have been a kind of tripod effect made of wood, a bucket on one end and a weight on the other, they became symbols of kind of wealth and how cultured you were. So even having one of these things that indicated you could bring water from the Nile into your garden was really an extraordinary thing.
Now, the point you make is that there's nothing new under the sun. They had their shaded colonnades, they had their water features, they had their symmetry,
which we see
in modern gardens today, and indeed in, I suppose, the heyday of garden design, which might have been in the 19th century.
Well, that's right. You and I had the pleasure last week of wandering around the magnificent gardens at the Bloom Festival in the Phoenix Park. But the message here, there's nothing new. They influenced what came after. So again, 3,000 years ago, they influenced the symmetrical layout. This is where it started. The central water feature, shaded walks, sacred plants, all the elements that we see recurring time and time again, from the Islamic garden to the Mughal garden in India, to the Andalusian patios, monastery cloisters, to minimalist design. It all started here.
The first ever designed garden from more than 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, with just imbued with meaning everywhere you looked. Really quite extraordinary. And if we were to see it today, it would feel contemporary to us. That's how electric this place is.
Jim McGavin, thank you very much for joining us.
Gardening on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Tyrlawn Country Life. Gardens are our second nature, with 15 garden centres nationwide.